Hello, Florida. Your favorite son and biggest baby are coming home to bring you the laughs you deserve. Everyone likes to poke fun of the Florida man. Everyone likes to use Florida as a punching bag whenever an alligator on meth eats an old person. That can happen anywhere. As a famous Floridian baby, I feel your pain. So that's why I'm coming home to let you know it's okay to be who you are. It's okay that the rest of America is scared of us. It's okay that books are illegal in our schools. It's okay whenever it gets cold, it rains iguanas. I'm here to support you. So come on out. March, I'll be in North Florida. And in May, I'll be in South Florida and Orlando. It's the Invasive Species Tour. Ed Larson, me, is coming to Florida in March and May. I'm coming to Jacksonville, Panama City, Tallahassee, Marco Island, Dania Beach, Orlando, and Key West. So lock up your public subs and start singing the Miami Dolphins fight song, because we're going to party like it's Florida, baby. Tickets at eddytunes.com.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Okay, we're rolling.
Honestly, it doesn't even have to be a good excuse.
I mean, at least give them the grace of coming up with a fun story about why you have to kill them.
I've always said, lie to me. Like, if you're going to kill me, Natalie, if you're going to kill me, just lie to me.
What do you mean?
Like, don't do it like the, what's her name, the Corey Richards.
Well, like, oh, come here in the kitchen. I got something to show you. That's how you want to get killed?
How I want to be killed, Natalie, is if you surprise me with a dinner.
Okay.
And then you while you're wearing lingerie, right? And then you put poison in this very elaborate dinner you've made.
I really thought this out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that at the end of it, as I'm fading, right, you just one last kiss. And you one last kiss, because then in the end, I didn't know it was coming. Not like Corey Richards, where it's like her husband knew that he was trying to kill him
but
for
she
like
did
months.
Lie. She did lie, though.
No, but then she kept trying to kill him. Get it done, Natalie.
Right.
But here's the thing. Natalie, no offense, you don't cook meat well.
No.
You know, and so you're...
Yeah, if I brought you a steak, you would know.
No, you would know something's up, especially because you've devised this entire plan now, too. Yeah.
But then, in a way, when you see it happening, it's almost like a piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knowing that, oh, my end is here.
I pictured you in a bathtub, like a bubble bath, and Natalie was like, all right, Henry, do you want some toast? And then she throws it in there.
That's
oh, like
fucked up.
Adam's Family style.
Yeah, that's fucked up, Amber.
I can cook it if you want.
Oh,
and then
that's
like
nice.
And like we'll just put like a curtain over the kitchen. It'd be hard to keep Henry out of the kitchen.
I'm just saying because
he like, lives in there.
Yeah, yeah,
but
it's true.
But you know, if you need, I can come in. I'll make the really nice dinner. You'll be like, Henry, I made this for you. I won't even, you know, I won't look. I'll hand you the food like this. And so, you know, I won't see the lingerie.
I love it. Just don't let me see it coming.
Yeah. And then if you want, we could just two in the back of the head when you're on the Toto.
Oh, my God. Honestly.
Oh, that's nice.
Scrap everything I just said.
You need to go on that thing.
Yep.
You need to go while you're
sniper
going.
Sniper rifle. Through the bathroom window as I have just completed my time on the Toto.
That's a tough shot. You can't see through the glass in that section of the bathroom.
Well, Natalie, that's why we're starting to go to the range soon.
Oh, we are. That's
yeah.
true.
We're
going
to get
pregnant.
Okay. So we're going to get trained, and it's for the coming apocalypse.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for
it's
being here.
It's about time that you come to realize that we're all going to go together.
Yeah, and we are going to go together as a family. Welcome to Side Stories.
You are one of the 144,000, right?
Absolutely. You can tell. It's on my jersey. My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
Hello! I am a 4.20 dark.
Yeah, he is. He's got my... Yeah. Oh, man, 420!
420 dark, man!
420
fucking
dark,
gnarly,
dude! Fucking blow smoke in his face, man!
Yeah, man, the fucking demons are coming for you!
Yeah, if we went to a gun range, LPN trip, Who do you think would freak out first?
You.
Yeah.
You already freaked out at a gun range when you went with my wife.
I started crying and I thought they were going to kick me out.
We got to get you stronger.
No, they
for
love
the
that. They enjoy it. They film it.
You were like, I think it was, you went and you were like, has anyone ever tried to rob this place? And you're like, we are covered in guns. Oh, no one is robbing us.
They can't do it. They literally can't do it. But we're sitting here with the effervescent investigators and journalists slashed broadcasters.
Broads.
These
put the broad and broadcast.
These stank UHF. Broads. Who one of them is my favorite and the other one's my other favorite. I'm sitting here with Natalie Jean and Amber Nelson of Someplace Underneath.
Wow.
Hi.
Yeah, you guys.
Welcome back.
Excited to have us.
I am.
This is thrilling to you.
You've been on last podcast on the left proper. Now you're doing side stories. I think you're the only guest to do both.
Wow. So how does this show differ? Do we make more sounds with our mouths?
We could be way dumber on this episode.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, no, people love the choo-choo.
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-choo-choo.
You're really helping.
This is great. Yeah.
This is honestly allows our audience to feel like they're in different environments.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I go, guess what environment I'm in?
Yeah, that's for our chalkboard people.
Toboggan.
A roller coaster?
A swing falling down a mountain.
We're at the beach.
Oh, you're at the beach.
Yes.
You're at the beach. Is that the cyclone?
What's the squeaking sound?
Birds.
That's not a bird.
That's not a bird. That sounds like metal screeching on metal.
More men.
Hot dogs. We want your hot dogs.
Yeah. This is important. This is what our audience likes. But one thing that they also like above all else, that is Mormon-based true crime. Now, Someplace Underneath, for the last, I want to say, 3 years, has been covering Mormon-based crimes. You are doing a special run right now.
Well, yeah, it depends on how you look at it, because the reason we ended up doing this season as Mormon-focused is because since we started the show, a bunch of cases we were covering just happened to have LDS members attached to them, and I didn't even know what the difference was between them and Jehovah's Witnesses when I started. You know, it was just like one of those ones.
Yeah.
And so then when they kept appearing, I was like, what's going on over there at that church? And it turns out a lot.
It's a lot, because when you live under these like high intense rules, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems that even though, you know, especially now that we've been covering Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell for a month, well, I've gotten many messages over this period of time from what they say. We kept saying capital M Mormons. Right. People that are practicing Mormons mm-hmm. within the church. And we got a lot of messages saying, you know, you keep saying to us that our essential beliefs as a church are kind of outrageous, but there's plenty of casual Mormons. And then you start to look into casual Mormonity. And it's
a Jack Mormon, if you will.
A Jack Mormon. And
I
you
love
realize,
manatees.
Oh, you do. But they specifically are not. There are the belief system's very crazy.
Yeah, it's not like their special underwear is like sweatpants. It's still the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do wear special panties, but
do they? What can you tell me about that?
They're called garments.
Please, Ed.
Yes.
Please, Ed. I'll show you some other form of documentaries if you want to get.
They have Mormon porn?
Documentary film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's called Mormon Girls.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I brought it up several times on their series.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in and out when you talk.
You would like this. Great, Rob.
Oh,
perfect.
Don't do
this in front of my wife.
There just is. I just wanted to see if there was.
Yeah, wow. No, it's just creating facts.
No, it's Mormon Girls with a Z. That's how you know it's cool. It's streetwise.
Well, there's a huge fetishization of the religion in general is constantly thinking about sex. Even though they're like, don't do it. Don't do it. Never, never, never do it. Don't think about breasts. And then it makes you either go crazy or very horny all the time because you're like, I can't touch myself. I can't touch myself. I can't do it.
It's naughty.
It's very naughty. So that makes sense. There's a bunch of porn about
it's
it.
It's so weird because they're so restrictive, yet everything we always talk about is all the polygamy.
Well, the polygamy is not in the mainstream church anymore, but it's still sex-based. Everything is about sex and purity and maintaining your sheath. And like the girls from a young age start getting these classes about not being chewed gum, quite literally. They talk about...
Yeah, because they said if you get... That's the same. No man wants to chew pre-chewed gum.
Right, yeah. So just like putting us as gum.
Yeah.
And it's so weird as a girl in that religion to be like, you got to be pure, pure, pure for the rest of your life. But then you're also expected to have a bunch of kids. Like, where do we think the kids come from?
Cum.
A
wish? Yeah. Big, sloppy loads of cum.
We're just cum babies.
And also, they have this unique aspect of having universities that are exclusively Mormon based, which is like really rare for a high control group.
Well,
and we've talked.
They got the Catholics and the Christians. So don't count them out.
That's not a high control. What, in BYU?
I'm just saying, in terms of don't count out, in terms of how powerful and how horrible other religious institutes can be, like the Jesuits. We're doing a whole live show on the Jesuits and how they have tried to manipulate society using university level education, but they had the same, they had Catholic money and respect.
They have, I mean, Mormons have more money than Catholics.
But I'm saying,
Than the Vatican?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're at least comparable to the Vatican.
They are hoarding money. Right now, the Mormon church is sitting on about $200 billion.
That's a low estimate.
Yes. And so they are also specifically, Natalie hit me to this, they're specific Mormon hedge funds, which is, that's a whole movie in and of itself.
Yeah. There has to be. $65 billion.
There's a, yeah, it's probably more than that.
And so they believe that they are sitting on this money. We don't know why. And that's a part of the reason why one of my big theories about Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow is that they were actually a part of the Mormon deep state that was trying to flip the Mormon, Mormon leadership so that they can get control of the money.
That was never going to happen.
Well, they got close because of the tap from Tom Harrison, and because the two of them got like, and Tom Harrison was close.
I got to say, though, they're still technically that they're the Mormon belt kind of bumpkins compared to, they have an entire branch of their church called Ensign Peak that is an investment firm.
That is literally, yes.
On Wall Street. Those are savvy tech people. Those are people who make them the billions. And those are the people who are actually running stuff, including the guy who is the CEO of Neuralink, who is an active Mormon.
We were just talking about Neuralink getting the chip in you.
No, I ain't getting the mark of the beast.
My favorite part about Ensign Peak, though, is that they call all of their investors bishops.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's good when you can actually, like, really buy your way in.
Yeah.
Especially those, because what they believe is that they use our secular ways in order to make money for the church. They say the Catholic Church is about the same.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the amount of money.
And the thing is, though, the Mormon Church is all in America. And so, the $260 billion is American currency.
It's the American money, yeah.
But they're also in, like, Argentina. And
they have missionaries, the missionaries that go out. Like, you know, I saw Book of Mormon. It's a blast. But the thing is, if we tax that shit, that's like $30 billion.
We're not gonna.
It's wild, though. That's like, that's everything there. That's education.
That fixes everything.
If we just fucking tax them.
It's almost like con artists. Churches.
And that's the reason why they want to get a hold of this money, because once they get a hold of it, they can do whatever they want with it. So, and they can really fuck shit up if they would like to. But that's kind of the beginnings of our conversation. So obviously, Natalie, our home.
It's really fun.
Lots of Mormon.
Packed with this shit.
That's great.
And so we are up to my receding hairline. Is filled with Mormonity. And so it's it started with your exploration of other cases that got you to the LDS center of all these other various, like, you know, missing women cases. But there's one big case that is right now probably going to be revealed to be massively intrinsically tied to the Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow case.
Chad Daybell looks like a Mormonity.
He does.
He does.
He does. but that would be the Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt case. Now, do you guys want to explain a little bit of what the hell this is?
They were two lesbians torturing children in their basement.
Yes.
Time, lesbians. Yes. Way to step up.
Yes.
You've been out of the playing game for so long. You've been so respectful. Just fixing cars and building walls. You know, now you're getting there. You're killing kids.
Yeah, just scissoring.
He ruined Sex in the City, the television series.
They were both lesbians in the way that Joe Exotic's husbands are homosexual. What that is to say, Jody Hildebrandt.
By seduction?
Told a bunch of women that they were lesbians.
Yes.
So it wasn't strictly two people in love.
No, so what are they besides lesbians?
They are, what are they called? They're mental fitness coaches.
Yes, Connections with an X. It's still on Instagram. Go check it out.
You can look at it right now on Instagram.
Now that came from, so that's a combined effort of Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie, but who are they separately? How did we get here?
Okay, so
what is the actual case?
We've been covering Ruby Frankie since 2022 because Ruby Frankie is a very famous mommy vlogger in the vlogger sphere. many mommy vloggers are Mormon. It's a huge part of the LDS culture. So she's one of them.
And that's a part of your family exploitation series.
Right. Yes. And she on camera would say things like, oh, my child in kindergarten forgot to pack their lunch today. Guess they're not going to eat.
And say, like, nobody better feed her so she learns her lesson, that kind of thing.
Right. Make her teenage son sleep on a beanbag chair.
And this is wrong how?
I know. I mean,
I slept on beanbag chairs. I had a futon for many years. That's, you know, a horrible way for a child to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
That's just because you were too big for a room.
Yes.
And that was punishment, even though his exploitation was paying for the home they lived in. But yeah, so we're both very against family vlogging in general. It's extremely dangerous.
It started with Ruby Frankie's channel, 8 Passengers.
So 8 Passengers was a very famous channel, and it became known to the outside world because she was just kind of proudly showing horrible stuff that she was doing to her kids.
Well, it like ramped up. It went from her sort of doing quote unquote regular mommy blogging, which is just showing your children on camera. But that's all it really is. It is using your children as bait for people to click on your video for you to monetize.
For example, she was one of the families that YouTube had to change some of their rules about because parents like her realized that they were getting huge numbers on things for like. Showing your kid getting their first bra, shaving their legs for the first time. I can't put my finger on like who would be tuning into that, but they were very popular.
Senators, I'm teachers, sure there were police some officers, and, yes, priests.
Yeah,
I'm
sure. Firemen.
They just want to see how they can raise their daughter.
Right.
That's
it.
To get them all ready to go.
So they were making upwards of 6 figures a month sometimes on videos like that.
Damn.
And as the LDS training mixed with the madness of like the dopamine hits of doing this and getting all this attention, this positive affirmation, she started to spiral. And that's when Jodi Hildebrandt kind of stepped in, who was already doing a bunch of her own things that were crimes, but she never got punished for them.
So it seemed to start with Ruby Frankie did an extended punishment on her son for some kind of infraction between the kids. And it seemed like her son was the quote unquote star of the channel.
He was very popular, yes.
He was viewed as like the one that the audience liked the most. They liked to see her son on
he was the JTT of the family, if you will.
Was he talented?
No.
He's
mischievous.
There's nothing that happens on these channels except you watch them in their intimate moments. So, like, it's hard to know whether he's talented. Maybe he is.
He just exists on the show. And so what happened is they had this extended punishment where his room was taken away from him and he was forced to sleep either outside on various surfaces on the home. And so when this became known, it went viral all over the internet.
Because she was so, at that point, had been abusing them so deeply that she posted it herself and, like, didn't think anything of it. And people were like, what do you mean he hasn't had a bed in 8 months?
Yes. Well, lots of people love that type of punishment, unfortunately. They wish we would go back to it.
Well, that's what it feeds
right
upon.
Right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger is getting praised for how horrible he was to his children.
Really?
And look at what he did. He made a fucking terrible actor and something else.
They're literally like talking about how he would like burn their shoes if they left him in the wrong place and stuff like that. And everyone's like congratulating him for being strict. But it's like, that seems like it's torture.
It's weird that people hate kids and you can like willingly say that and treat them this way. And that's like one of the last few bastions of bad morals.
Yeah. I don't fucking know. There's a part of me that's like, with Schwarzenegger, it's okay. Because he made himself from just his pectoral muscles.
Yeah.
He became a governor because of his pectoral muscles.
I wish Ruby Frankie would have given us at least one blockbuster if she's going to do this to her children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why we're married.
Oh, he has a Nazi father, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Austrian from back in the day. Makes sense.
It was hard to avoid. And so Ruby Frankie, so it happened is that she had this problem with her son, and then
wanted to be a child that did not want to vlog, and that was not acceptable.
Absolutely not, because that's how they make their money. And so she decided to introduce her son to Jodi Hildebrandt's therapy,
who she got recommended to by church people.
So this is all deeply connected. So now, who is Jodi Hildebrandt?
Jodi Hildebrandt is a woman who is a licensed therapist, or was until jail. She's now incarcerated for aggravated child abuse. And she is a part of a much bigger issue within the LDS culture, which is she is a therapist who engaged in sex addiction therapy.
Very similar to Tom Harrison. Very similar, like, in that same whole world. The idea of, like, having to inspect your children's behavior before they get to be a proper Mormon.
Well, that and just adults, too. In the Mormon world, sex addiction can mean your husband looks at porn once a month. They call them a sex addict. And they send them to literal meetings like AA, 12-step programs.
I'm sorry, my computer's just heating up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just even you just saying.
It's just cough.
Yeah. It's like hot to the touch. I'm sorry. Continue.
But they'll send
I need you to watch porn to kind of just, you know, take the edge off a little bit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But they'll send you in these, these meetings with, like, actual child predators because they equate that as the same thing.
Yes. So sex crimes in, I should say, sexual sin.
Well, we covered this with a little bit talking about in our series about the miracle of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And how they say any form of sexual outside of marriage, anything outside of marriage is considered the sin next to death.
It is. It is openly said that. You can literally go to the Latter-day Saints website right now and see that in writing. Mm-hmm. So child molestation, having sex consensually with a same-sex partner, masturbating.
And bestiality is considered the same.
I mean, literally all of it is the same. So if you end up in one of these sex addiction centers or in these 12-step programs in the church, you might be somebody who is a weekly masturbator next to somebody who had kids in their basement and got out of jail and is on the sex offenders registry.
Masturbator, my nickname in high school.
My name is, honestly,
weekly masturbator.
There's a part of me that says, if you masturbate once a week, that's even worse than masturbating every day. I'd prefer you masturbate every day. Because if you feel like there's something about, like, well, it's Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, there's something that, like, finally, it's masturbation day.
That's why at LPN you have mandatory masturbation meetings for people who aren't masturbating.
Studio 3.
That is what we've been doing recently. So, like, and I want to say thank you to the wives. They've been doing a really wonderful masturbation accountability meetings for us to make sure we have.
Yeah.
Because they said it's just so much better than doing the act themselves.
Yeah. Thankful. So Julie's so thankful.
So thankful. And yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Took care of that.
Yes.
You know, now we can move on. Now we can have dinner.
If you don't, you're just climbing up the walls like an exorcism.
I have to.
Yeah, I know.
Now, this is, and that's life.
Also, you don't have to masturbate every day. You don't necessarily listen to Henry. It's probably best if you don't.
No, it's fine if you do, but it's fine if you do.
If you
need to do it,
it's totally fine.
You go out and you do it.
Live from your grave.
So Jody Hildebrandt was one of these therapists. There is a huge network of therapists in the LDS community who make millions of dollars from these people who come in for their services.
Because Jody Hildebrandt costs big money.
Jody's house when she was arrested was valued at $6.5 million, I believe.
Well, when everybody has a sexual addiction, yeah, they're all going to go to her and give her money.
And they charge you out the fucking, talk about it, out of the dick and balls. They charge you up, and it's crazy, too. And it's coming for the husbands.
$50 every time you jerk off.
But it literally,
really?
I mean,
yeah. No,
it's
not
even, I would have, I believed it.
I'd just be like, here's $250, right?
We'll see you next week.
I just need you to hold on to that, right?
It's tens of thousands of dollars they're giving these people. And it's church recommended. So the church is telling them when they go to their bishops, they go, I touched my Peter. I touched it. And then the bishop goes, you need help.
That's the first thing he asked.
Now,
was it for science?
Are these real bishops or are these the appointed ones that are just like rich people?
There's no actual clergy in the LDS church. It's only people who have. So it could be your plumber is also your bishop. They are people who have never been to school and they have other jobs. So you're going and talking to this guy who might also be like doing your HVAC about your masturbation, including kids. Mm. They're going to these dudes.
Well, that makes me scared for like tattletales, because what if they work at CVS and they see me getting Plan B.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they do. That's what
they do. Yeah,
it's a high control group. They work from the inside. It's not funny.
Uh oh.
I don't know.
But I was watching Hidden True Crime.
Whenever Henry says it's not funny, that means it makes him laugh very hard.
And it's horrible.
But it's not funny. But there was a guy in one of these groups that was talking about how he was paired. He's a full-grown father, business owner. So one thing they do, right, they kind of kick the husband out, right? They kick the husband out of the house.
Under Jody's practice, yes.
Right. So they get him, they get rid of him, right? And then they have to go on these weekly accountability Zooms where they all talk about how they're not masturbating and how great they are at not masturbating. And then
that was Ruby Frankie's husband.
That's Ruby Frankie's husband, who is the fucking biggest bitch of all time.
Yeah.
He is such a fucking
throw
pussy
tomatoes.
Fucking
to that man.
Bitch. Fuck you. What's his fucking name? He is so
Kevin.
Full of shit. And he's making money on this documentary series, acting like he did anything. Look at this bald prick.
Some people defend him. I am a 100% Kevin hater.
Anti him. I am anti him. He obviously knew what was going on. He got kicked out of the home, and then they started. He just decided to be like, well, whatever. But one of the stories I was reading that wasn't funny was that a full grown man was paired with a 16-year-old boy, and he had to. Him and the 16-year-old boy had to call each other every week, and him being like, yeah, boy, there was a girl, Becky Evans, in class today. She was wearing a low-cut shirt, and I really had to think about it. Meanwhile, the other guy's like, yeah, yeah. They're fucking with my 401k, and I had I had a really stressful week. And he had to like talk to me, a 16-year-old. Oh, that sounds really bad. Better not jerk off. Hope you're not thinking of jerking off. No, I'm not, Billy. I'm not. Definitely not.
It must be hard for this guy not to jerk off when he looks like a clitoris.
He is garbage. This guy is a fucking moron.
I cannot defend this man. Like, he makes me crazy.
Yeah, I don't. I think that. So explain even further. So now, why are we here? So now, Jody Hildebrandt. Well, fast forward a little bit. How we even know about these crimes is the fact that we saw there was Ring camera footage of an emaciated little boy coming out of a home, which was in Jody Hildebrandt's mega mansion, ringing the doorbell and saying, can you get me in touch with the police? I have a personal matter. I need to speak with the police.
And this is the neighbor's ring cam?
This yes. was a close by person. Yeah.
And it's in Utah, so he had to walk through desert and rocks. He's barefoot.
He had to walk like half a mile.
Handcuffed and like duct tape over the handcuffs. So like cuts and bruises.
He was covered in blood.
Push him into cactuses and stuff as a baby.
And holy he was shit. Richard Hamilton style tan.
Yeah.
Which is from working in the backyard. She'd have to work in the backyard for hours and hours and stand in the backyard and do all these things because they partly believed, much like how we're going to get to now, connecting to Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, is that by being naughty children, they were letting evil forces into them. And the only way to get rid of the evil forces in all of these children, this is the heart of Jody Hildebrandt's and Ruby Frankie's program, was that you have to severely punish them in order to make the goodness come back, which doesn't seem to work.
No. I mean, it's that old thing. It's like when people, I always bring it up as like, if you hit a bad dog, it makes them a worse dog, you know? And,
sure.
And I know these are children and not dogs, but it's just an expression that I've always like.
Yeah, sometimes it turns them into Michael Jackson, but then they also turn into Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
Very rarely. Then they sometimes turn into the Michael Jackson, if you know what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
That whole thing is a
they turn
case.
Into Michael Jackson, and then they
then
turn
Michael
into
Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But that whole Michael Jackson thing is a case of he said.
Okay.
I like that joke.
Yeah,
that's
an old one. I know.
He's allowed.
Making direct eye contact.
Yeah, he's allowed. it's called listening.
I'm listening. Yeah, and I think also on that point, I think it reflects more on the person who's hitting than the person who's receiving the hitting. That's saying a lot about your character and how much of a child you are. But one of the things I don't think is always mentioned is that the reason that Kevin, Ruby's husband, and her eldest son, Chad, had to leave the house, according to Jody Hildebrandt, their therapist, who was becoming enmeshed with their family, which she had done to multiple families before this. But
that'll be one of the big reveals is that Jody Hildebrandt's been doing this for a long ass time.
Just never to a family vlogger. So it was very insulated inside the LDS church. But this is like, I think they had like almost 2 million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, so you would watch it, and it was two women sitting on the couch talking about accountability and like punishment culture.
And
meanwhile,
and connections
with an ex. And meanwhile, there's two kids in a safe, in a human sized safe.
Yeah, see,
locked behind
them. Right here, behind them, behind that door is a human sized safe where two children are locked.
And they're like, "Help me, mommy! Help me, mommy! I'm hurting!"
And if you watch the body cam footage, it's some of the most haunting
Holy
shit you'll
shit.
Ever see, because they walk through this. The cops are clearing the house. They find, obviously, Jodi Hildebrandt's on her phone with her lawyer because, of course, she has a very, very powerful lawyer. They go walk through. They find a little boy just sitting in a walk-in closet. Girl. It was a little girl, looked like a little boy, in a walk-in closet. She was emaciated. The cop was so heartbroken, he just sat with her, trying to get her to respond and talk to her.
Because she'd been conditioned to not.
Yes. Yeah. And then they're walking through the hallway, and they're looking for two more kids. And there's two more kids in this fucking house.
There's just one.
Was there just one?
Two total.
Because the other one
was the one who escaped.
Yeah. So, and then they start hearing noises in one of the bedrooms and hear that they are listening to videos in the they hear videos and sounds of the kids crying coming up from the vent. And then they have to find where the vent goes, and they find them inside. They find the kid inside a safe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So in the body cam, they're not in the safe, but they are in the safe most of the time. We just don't have body cam footage of them in it. Yes. She was in a closet. Sorry.
What's in the safe? Is it just chairs?
It's a child.
They're preppers. LDS people are preppers in general. It is meant to be a place. If there's like zombies coming, you can close yourself in, or you can close a zombie in or a prisoner in, and it has a bed, it has a fridge and all this stuff, but no way to escape, no way to get out, and no windows or anything. Mm-hmm. So the reason this even happened in the first place, I think, is we should mention, because we're talking about sex addiction, is Jodi told Ruby that, you know, the husband, you know, her husband is engaging in sexual sin. He's masturbating. He wants to have sex with her all the time. That's not okay because they're not making kids, whatever. And then the eldest son, who was forced to report any sexual feelings to his therapist and his mother, confessed that he had masturbated. Jodi convinced Ruby that was the reason that Jodi was being possessed by demons, because she was having full-on, in the Frankie home, having full-on, like, exorcism
like
thing.
Like cum ghosts.
It's very similar to the Krugersdorp cult that we covered, where she would be pretending to be attacked by demons and go into these fake seizures and these fake sort of motions, and she'd be like, this is what your son's masturbating mm-hmm. is doing to me.
And so because of that, Ruby is totally like, oh, Jodi is one of the saviors. Jodi's trying to convince everyone that she's writing the next part of the Bible.
Well, yeah. So that's one of the big things that also got revealed. What are they called? Like the pen papers.
Mm. And so because they've now completely like just spun out into this idea that now Jodi is this like ethereal being who's going to lead everybody out. And this is all LDS stuff, by the way. Ruby's convinced. They kick out Kevin. They kick out the eldest son. They kind of kick out the eldest daughter, too. And then spiral out, and we're watching it online, people who are covering this. She takes her family channel off the offline, and then it returns with just Ruby and Jodi on their connections bullshit. And so that's when the two women are sitting on that couch. They're at Jodi's house, and they have, I don't know how to explain these videos. I really feel like you need to go watch them, because it's these two, like, they look like, you know, Martha Stewart-ish, like, kind of ladies being like, hi, everybody. It's so great to be here.
No, and they're pure evil.
And then they just spin out into, you need to beat your children. The demons are in your children, and you have to beat it out of them. And they're talking like that.
Yeah.
And
see, my mom beat me for fun.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And you know what? Yeah. And it shows, because it really did build a fun attitude in you.
She threw a phone at you, right?
Yeah, threw a phone, hit me with a bag of wood.
I mean, we all got beat with a phone.
Yeah.
Didn't you get hit with? I got hit with a phone.
But it has a cord on it.
I got slapped.
Yeah. Mine was cordless.
Wow.
Fancy.
Ooh. That's that Boca Raton abuse.
Yeah. Oh. Fancy. High society. Now, I know. So even if the kid was being quote unquote good and not masturbating, this other woman could just be like, he's masturbating. And he's like, I'm not.
This is not the first time she's done this to a family. So she methodically.
Yeah, sometimes the mom can even accidentally sit on the dishwasher, and if she even gets kind of wet, Jodi starts switching.
She shouts at your door.
Jodi doesn't.
You got any wet pussies in here?
Yeah, here's some wet pussies
right
here.
Oh, no, no.
Here's some sausage wet pussies are up in here.
No, guys. She loves the wet pussy. She does not want a boner around her by a fucking 10-mile radius.
Oh, Jodi Hildebrandt don't like the dudes.
No, she despise, she loathes men.
Which I mean, don't I understand, man. Dudes are fucking awesome. Literally, fuck you, dude. Dudes are fucking awesome, man. So, I'm fucking, look at my gains.
I know, baby. Oh, look at that.
I got fucking gains, dude. Dudes fucking rock.
Yeah, man. You got a fucking clam under there, dude.
Yeah, man. Fuck that shit, man. Jody's just hasn't met a real man.
That's it.
Well, now she is prison guards, you know.
Wow. She's going to be in a lady prison.
So she already is, yeah.
Doesn't mean there's not male guards.
A lot of them are, they're thick women.
So obviously because she's LDS, she has never come out openly as a lesbian because you are not allowed to be gay in the LDS church.
Absolutely.
See, what they have, what she has is not lesbianism. It's very different.
SSA.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, when she's with the women, it's not lesbian sex. They are normally, I can even see what she's saying to them because it sounds, it's very similar to Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow where they use the past lives. I could see her using past lives. I could see her using, probably, saying stuff like, I can literally see her say, I was a man in a past life. It's okay for me to be doing this to you because we're enacting the same thing. Because look at Lori Vallow in the new, that new interview she did. That's the first thing that she says is that it was totally cool for me and Chad to fuck because we had already been married for several
31
lifetimes.
Different lives.
Yeah, so it doesn't really matter.
Just like ice cream flavors.
You can just make it up if you have enough money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amber gets it.
Yeah. $350,000 to get into heaven.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. You can even get, I mean, technically a Ferrari you can get.
I mean, it's a good investment.
Just drive it right through the
golden
gates.
If it's eternally. You know?
What, like, for these bitches? I don't want to be in the same heaven as Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand. I don't want to go up there and get mad.
You don't want to be there with Josh Duggar?
I want to jerk off in heaven.
You can.
I don't know if you can or not. I don't know. In LDS heaven, I don't think you can.
What would you rather?
How do you think clouds are made?
Burning forever, but you can jerk off, or no burning and you can't jerk off?
How do you jerk off while you're burning?
It's just one of those perks.
Yeah. I mean, if you're burning forever, I guess you figure it out.
Get used to it.
Yeah, you're like, you will eventually acclimate.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was on your pretty faces going to hell.
I'd rather be hot than cold. So, yeah.
See, I prefer to be, I don't like being cold, but I'd rather be cold because then I can put on a sweater.
Mm. I don't know if they have sweaters.
It's hell, you're right.
Yeah.
Much as windbreakers.
Check out adult tracksuits.
Your pretty face is going to hell. It's pretty good.
Fly from your grave.
Tallahassee, what's going on? Ed Larson here from Last Podcast on the Left to let you know I'm coming to you. That's right. I'm going to be at the 926 Bar and Grill on March 23rd doing some stand-up and some music with my good friends Evan Rossi and Danny Bedrosian, you know, the keyboard player from Parliament Funkadelic. What? He's performing live with Ed Larson in Tallahassee? Yes, it's happening. So come on out March 23rd, Tallahassee, Florida, to see Ed Larson, Danny Bedrosian, and Evan Rossi perform at the 926 Bar. You might just get a public sub.
Now, we talked a little bit about how do all of these things touch Mormon tips?
So, yeah, the wrap up of that whole story is after they start to spiral, Jody and Ruby start to kind of move into Jody's house, which is 5 hours south of where these her minor children still are.
And she's just letting the kids sleep alone in the house and shit. This is Ruby Frankie.
Yeah. The kids are alone. The neighbors see this. The eldest daughter tries to stop it. The youngest, I think, was 8 or 9.
Okay.
Oldest was teens. And the eldest daughter, who had completely rebelled from all of this, who was the only smart person in this family, I think, other than the children, she has been trying to call CPS. She's called the cops. Nobody is doing anything about these children being abandoned. And eventually, Jody and Ruby take the two youngest kids from Ruby's house all the way down to St. George to Jody's house. And that is where they began torturing them for months and months. And the only reason they got rescued is that little boy saved them from death. They were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
They were slowly killing them.
Well, what we're seeing now, too, is we know for a fact they had a plan to buy real estate. They were going to buy land. They're going to
further
leave.
Out in the desert. Yeah.
They were already calling. They were already starting to use the terminology that we saw in the Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow case.
Zombies.
Ruby Frankie used the term zombies.
Were they ranking them by numbers?
No. That was specific Chad Daybell. Like,
that's his jazz. He put his spin on it.
We talked about this. There is something that they did because Chad Daybell which we said on the show, was unable to imagine. Like, he literally couldn't imagine things. Every single time he came up with something, it was connected to something, to pop culture. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the zombie demarcation came from The Walking Dead, because I think it was one of the only things that they were sort of allowed to watch that was vaguely naughty. And I think that they watched it. I think they had heard about zombies. I also believe Ruby Fahnke and Chad Daybell used that short-term terminology in order to cover up crimes by, if anybody asked, well, all of this stuff about zombies, they can be like, yeah, isn't it? That's ridiculous. That's why we were saying we were playing around on text.
See, I disagree with you on that point. I know we're just going to agree to disagree on that, because I think that they took that extremely. I don't think they understand. I think the way that they are raised inside of this fantasy world of the LDS culture, they don't really comprehend the difference between pretend movie terms.
Is it like religious autism?
Kinda.
Well, it's more like religious scrupulosity, I think, personally. Well, but
scrupulosity is also born out of fear, though. That's what I looked up. It was more born out of fear.
So, like, Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, Jody Hildebrandt, you think that they really believe what they're doing?
I think that they have to method act to the point, especially with, like, Lori. I think that they know ultimately what they're doing is wrong, but they can't connect to that part because then they're child killers. Well, I think they have to accept.
It has to be.
It has to be right.
That's what we were saying last night. Watching Lori Vallow. Lori Vallow is now in the point of her life where it must be correct. Chad Daybell definitely had a foot out.
Chad knows a lot more that it was bad.
He told everybody different stories, even up to the very, very end. Lori Vallow is now obviously staying in character, but up until then, Chad Daybell's been the only one really breaking character. But this is why I do think that it does serve two purposes. What we're seeing is what they don't understand is what you call the satanic duality, which is this idea, one of these things that you do where you're saying this funny cover-up thing. Like, you're saying this idea, you're calling it zombies. So that you each other, it's code to each other, and it has the added ability, if someone stumbles along it, they can be like, oh, what is this? And they can scoff it off. Where they do take it deadly seriously.
Yeah.
But they know. They know they take it deadly seriously. But what they've learned from every single secret school throughout all of society is that you have to make the exterior look ridiculous so that nobody will venture and see the secrets from within. Because, God forbid, we all save ourselves, Eddie, because we'll crowd up the Mormon afterlife, because that's all they want to do is get to the afterlife with the least amount of mouths to feed. And that's us.
The way I look at it is, if you have, I don't know, multiple burner phones, you know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's like you went to a kiosk in the mall several times. You know Mint Mobile's rates by hand.
But like you were just saying about Chad, Lori's adult son who escaped the fate of death, he talks about her all the time and says, yeah, also Lori would tell me, his mother would tell him these visions she had, and he would he wouldn't say to her, but in his head, he'd be like, we just watched the show with this scene in it like 2 weeks ago.
That you just incorporated this into your life.
But I think he thinks that she thinks that like their messages to her, like, I don't think she's just going, I'm going to trick all these people with this.
I just think it comes down to, they're Mormons.
They've
never had to do anything creative in their life. And it is just a lack of creativity.
They're already told these things they need to believe that don't make any sense. And I'm not trying to say that people who are LDS are stupid. They're not. But the leadership benefits from them not learning outside of the bubble.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. That's what I say to you.
I mean, there's got to be, like, good Mormons, right?
Oh, yes.
The majority of them are lovely people.
Yeah. It is just more understanding, which I've even said to some of our casual Mormon listeners, and what they call Jack Mormons, that I do understand why you're in it. I do understand if you've been born in it, and it brings a lot of comfort. I do understand that a lot of the societies themselves you'd even consider to be vaguely nice, if not blatantly racist and homophobic. You'd walk through them and you'd kind of be like, oh, what a nice town this is. Well, this is a nice place. All these people are so friendly. And I do think they believe there's room for casual Mormonism. But it's just the base beliefs are so fringe that
And so all-encompassing that it takes you have to do so much to maintain Mormon, your temple recommend and everything.
Right, like you could be Catholic and go to church on Christmas once a year.
And you're still, as long as you're confirmed.
And you're, sending the check every once in a while.
Yes. Yeah, but Mormonism, 10% of your income every time, and they'll find you.
They literally have finance meetings with you at the end of the year if you have not paid 10% of all of your income. They know what you make. They know how much money you've given them.
If God is real, he'd take it out of my account himself.
I agree.
If God is an actual entity, he would delete them. He'd just take the money, huh? Also, wouldn't God just make up money? Wouldn't God just use his magical abilities and just give them fucking money?
Well, that's why the hoarding of the billions, which they say is supposed to be for the last
Zion,
days.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Nobody needs money.
What are you buying?
It's just you.
What are you buying from who? For what? If you need to come to the end, what do you need a checking account for? If the earth split open and Jesus is here.
Money's not real.
It's literally...
None of it's real.
A handful of elders. One of them is 99 years old.
No, he's 100.
Yeah. What's his name?
Russell Nelson.
Yeah. Russell looks nasty. He looks like a skinwalker. And they sit in a literal throne.
They sit on the ivory tower, yeah.
But Amber, okay, you're the last single woman member. Mm-hmm. Of this network.
Should I go let him finger me?
Yes.
With his Crypt Keeper hands?
If you could just take one for the team.
He wouldn't even know. You could probably just like put an orange next to your legs.
If you took a...
Ah, sweet. I knew a woman's tender juices would bite upon my knuckle. I knew it would bite.
But if you could get in there, you get real close to him, right? Lori Vallowim, be like, I'm the new one.
Yeah.
If you roll in from out of town and be like, I had a vision. I talked to Jesus last night. We rode together on a scooter here this morning. I know him. He's my buddy. Jesus is my fucking lager fucking dojo. He's my fucking lay down, do anything soldier, right? He might just kind of let you take the whole thing.
Maybe. Give me that bank account, baby.
There's two dudes waiting. And there's the top guy, then there's two underneath him. And they're the ones who get it. And the youngest one is 91, I believe.
Ooh,
It would take you a total of 20 minutes to fuck each one of them to death.
Sure. I'd fuck them to death. The issue is they don't touch grass. How do you get to the tower?
Dress up like a catering outfit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You dress up in a catering outfit.
HVAC.
You hide inside of a thing.
Wait for August. They need their AC.
Sure. Have a Mormon. Oh, just
he
think
looks
about
like a demon.
Russell Nelson's
demon.
Little
he
forehead
looks like
kisses.
Dan Aykroyd from Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah. No, I think I actually said that on the show before.
What's nice about Russell Nelson is that he can remove his lips from his face to kiss you. Yeah. That you actually don't have to get close to his teeth and throat.
Man, it is about
look at his Band-Aid. You see the top?
Oh, cute.
It really is about your inner thoughts and your inner world, and they do make your face. Because I bet he wasn't bad looking, but his just hatefulness is...
I don't know, Amber.
He looks like a crypt keeper.
He's 100 years old. Honestly, it is frightening the fact that he's 100 years old and he is that still upright.
This is old. He doesn't look like this anymore.
It's amazing that your hearing goes, but your ears grow.
Oh, buddy.
You know, it's so...
Yeah,
it's so
weird.
Doesn't make
Why
sense.
Do ears get bigger?
It's already
and
happening
to
me.
Too, yeah.
It's happening to me. I'm getting the big chunks of... I'm getting the pop-pop hair. The big chunks of white sticking out of the bottoms of my ears.
I love it.
And you got... I mean, whenever we were born, he was already a geriatrics man.
Yes.
1924.
So
please,
if you want to see what he looks like,
give me a child.
If you want to see what he looks like now, you can look up his 100th birthday parties to see the condition. That
Dearest Amber, you already have my last name.
Who's the Mormon?
Dearest Amber, let me come in your hair.
Do they have a Tom Cruise? You know, like how Scientology's got Tom Cruise.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney's their guy.
Well, Tim Ballard was, which we're about to get into heavily on Someplace Underneath.
But Tim Ballard, he did a little bit of the finger popping, right? Well, he did the couples ruse.
He did. I think he's right now as 9 accusers.
Yeah, he used he was doing a, of course. Oh, God, get him off there. Come on, I can't even look at him anymore. He looks like the preacher from Poltergeist 2.
This isn't much better.
Yeah,
he's bloated. Like, you can tell he's a bloated alcoholic.
Tim Ballard has the same I definitely don't want to cheat on my wife face that RFK Jr. has.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
are a Tim Ballard is a man that is a, he's an up and coming power broker inside of the Mormon church.
He was. He got excommunicated.
He looks like he had a great time in 2002.
He did.
Oh, I bet.
He did. And then he ran an anti-human trafficking thing. I think it was called Sound of Freedom.
No, the movie's called Sound of Freedom. The organization is called Operation Underground Railroad.
Which he stole from, I think it was
Slavery.
Viola Davis.
Oh right,
yeah, Viola Davis. So he made Sound of Freedom.
Well, he produced it, which is a movie that's supposed to be about him that is completely propaganda.
I remember when it came out and everyone bought tickets and didn't go and all that.
Well,
shit.
The church bought a bunch of the tickets.
The church, and they had all these TikToks of people going into the movie theater and being like, "There's no one here," but they said it was sold out. Looked like they don't want us to see it. And I was like, "No, the church bought the tickets."
Yeah, because they wanted. Make it look like people are seeing it.
Yeah, right. You fucking idiot. You're fucking blowing the cover. Blowing the cover.
There was one where the air conditioning was out and this woman was on TikTok being like, they don't want us to go see it because the AC blew out. The government is doing big propaganda. I was like, they can do more than just shut off the AC.
Yeah, the movie wouldn't even be in the theater.
Yep. But so Tim Ballard doing his Operation Underground Railroad, what he was doing to help women that were quote unquote being trafficked is that he would have them go into his own personal hotel room and they would do a Mormon thing that is supposed to be during the Mormon post-apocalyptic scope, which is, or I also believe they do it on missions too.
What?
Where the conceit of the couple's ruse.
No, that's something totally Tim Ballard made up.
Is that just a thing? So the idea is that it just brought up in Visions of Glory. Visions of Glory has the couple's ruse, not called that,
right,
but it's the idea that you would travel the world with a woman that's not your wife, but you have to pretend to be husband and wife so that people don't know that you're a Mormon Avenger.
So Tim Ballard's
so
entire...
So they want you to just travel the world and lie to everybody?
No, well, they... Okay, so they... Tim Ballard... Guys, this is so intensely deep, but we can't talk about it all today, but Tim Ballard would say he was going to rescue children in impoverished countries because, you know, there's no child molesting happening in the LDS church. That's not where you would want to stop the child molestation. You want to go to some other country outside of like people who are professionals in stopping human trafficking and do it yourself because you're special.
And he would offer the families, be like, I'll give you $4,000 for this baby. And like, they would be like, yeah.
Cha-ching!
Cha-ching! And then, so essentially, he's trafficking the kids.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And he was using... The way he would go to find places to find the children that he had saved was using a psychic who was an LDS housewife who followed him around and told him her thoughts about where he should
There's
go.
There's a child right here. Yeah. I think I smell a child.
And where would he go?
I forget which countries. I think I want to say like Thailand. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, it's easy to find kids in Thailand.
Yeah. But the church and LDS members were, he made like a, I don't know, like $50 million in donations for this group.
And then he would bring these guys out.
Haiti, Colombia, and
Mexico. And the entire time, he was taking these LDS women who are naive, who want to be, they want to save children and they want to help. And he would say, okay, I believe that you can do this with me, but you have to listen to whatever I say, because this, if you don't, the kids are not going to get saved. And then he'd be like, we need to make the traffickers believe that we are married.
And they're watching us so closely that they know what we're doing in this room.
And yes, so we have to practice intimacy for when we go out there. And so we're going to take a shower together. And then slowly it was escalating to sex. And these women don't know anything about consent.
They're like, wow.
Well,
oh,
they don't
no.
like, they didn't like
oh,
it.
Wow. Oh no.
But they're like conflicted because they think they're saving the world's children.
Well, right. They got told that.
Yes.
And if you say no to this man, you're a bad person. But
well,
it's
not even just that you're a bad person. It's that you're putting the whole mission in danger.
Yes. You're what's it called? You're compromising the mission.
Yeah. Because you won't take the slippery salami. You won't lay there while he rubs his denim pant legged on you.
And when they would push back and say no, he would freak out on them and be like, because of this, that kid's going to die.
Everywhere.
And so after a while, a bunch of them went, wait a second, I feel like something's wrong here. And eventually they started a lawsuit against him. And it was only at that point the church excommunicated him. But the church, there's a bunch of heads of church who knew what he was doing.
Oh, definitely.
Let it happen. But all of that
to say, they thought
that
he was going to be president of the United States of America.
And also the next prophet. So all that to say, Tim Ballard is connected to Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell and is connected to Jody Hildebrand.
These are all taught by the same people. They're all approved by the same people. Tom Harrison is a big old center point of all of this thought. Visions of Glory, that old fuck.
And Maurice Harker. There's a couple people who connects them.
And he looks like you'd scare me in the dark.
No, this is like, he just looks like
scare you in the light.
He looks like the last thing Gene Hackman saw.
No!
It was himself in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Look at those eyes.
No! Piercing.
Yeah, get out of here. Get those eyes out of here.
When they masturbate, that's what they see in their minds.
Yeah,
peering
they just
over the
see
window.
Russell Nelson winking.
It's weird how they
I see
like,
you have a low seed pool today.
It's interesting because there are a lot of Mormons. It's a growing religion, I believe.
No, it's shrinking.
It's shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is still a lot, right?
Millions. Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah, and it is a very American new religion. Like you're right earlier, it is around the world with missionaries, but it's an American religion because Joseph said, trust me, bro, and then found these plates, and it does profit off of capitalism.
And it was starting, Utah was becoming a state at the same time Mormons moved to Utah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, they believed Jesus came to America and all that stuff, right?
They believe 17 million members.
But I think that was the way they've gotten away with all this shit for so long is that Mormonism just seemed like such a fringe thing that they've been able to like hide in plain sight. I didn't give a shit to look into any of this.
No. Same thing. They're also goofy. Yeah. And you think that like that's all it's a
skill.
Well,
they use the facade. They use the facade of being wholesome looking.
This is one of those things I try to tell our audience all the time. Like, you gotta you really don't wanna believe how easily you're fooled. I am too. Yeah. I'm not better than you. It's just more once you kind of understand like how insidious it is, how quickly they kind of gain your trust and you kind of think that they're normal and fine. And it's just hard. That's why even when I was talking about the legal advocates, I'm saying this for everything. People need more scrutiny.
Yeah.
Over your personal relationships.
I know you guys get a ton of pushback about talking smack on religion, but the issue is not that religion is bad, but the way that it's set up in this country, it kind of welcomes in con artists because there's no oversight.
If they get financial.
Well, there's no tax. They don't pay taxes. But secondly, if you say something is under a religious blanket, nobody can push and challenge it, which means the worst human beings are going to float to the top and do horrible things under the guise of religion. And we just have to go, well, it's America. It's freedom of religion. We can't really mess with that.
Let's all say one nice thing about Mormonism
end. Brighter side thing.
One nice thing about some form of organized religion.
Not Mormonism? Yeah, it's just organized religion as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that. Yeah, maybe that's easier.
They have nice buildings. They're pretty. Yeah. Even though a lot of greed went into it.
Yeah, even though I can't fucking go in, I should be able to go in anytime I want.
Okay.
You can't go into a Mormon church?
You can.
You can go into the church. You can't go into the temple.
I went inside of the SLC one. You can go inside of it, but only so far.
The church, the temple, you have to go through all of these processes, including wearing the underpants, to get into the temple.
Because if not,
you check your underpants?
They do. Yeah, you get shard on it. You can get shard on one of the if you shard anywhere.
Well, that's why they call them pews.
Yes. Thank you.
They stink.
You're right. Because of the shards.
Another influencer. There's garments there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, have you ever seen a woman getting sprayed with while she's in a hose? Like while she's in one?
No, never.
You should do that.
Is that in your documentary?
It's in one of them.
Documentaries.
Yeah.
Now, is there like a hole where the girl's underwear is, or does she take off the bottoms?
They're shorts. They used to be one piece until I think the mid '60s or something like that.
Again, because of the short revolution of 2012.
But one of the influencer privileges that the church overlooks because the influencers get people into LDS culture is they never wear their garments. They are allowed to dress seductively.
Right, like Nara Smith. She's Mormon.
Yeah.
Yes, the garment thing is kind of weirdly up for it's a contentious thing right now.
Well, if you're a normal, everyday temple holder, you have to wear them still.
Yeah.
You have to dress like that. But I wanted to say, one I can say good about Mormonism, Napoleon Dynamite came from BYU, and they were all Mormons.
Oh, there you go.
Right? See?
Whoa!
It's all been worth it. This whole time. I love Napoleon Dynamite.
Can you look up the temple? Because it does look like the Eye of Sauron. Or Sauron.
No, the temple is honestly strikingly beautiful. The OG big boy temple. It's quite big. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah, see? It looks like
I don't know. It looks spooky. Menacing to me.
That's the DC one.
Oh, that's the DC.
The main one is the main one's pretty beautiful.
We drove by one going to Southern California, and I was like, "What is that?" And it took me a second to be like, "Oh, that's the Mormon temple."
No, this is the.
So you like the architecture? That's not. That's
I don't mind it. It's just one of those things that I just again, I just feel like one solid neutron bomb will really make that place a nice spot. Like I'd like to be in that place. I want to. I think that we could knock out a bunch of those walls. I think we could put a great pool in there. I think that we could have a great rooftop bar. Like that's what I want. Is that rooftop bar right there. I think that we could put a roller coaster like they did on New York, New York.
Yes.
On the top of it.
See, I think some of these we're not supposed to be able to see, but of course the internet made it so.
This is the only thing I will agree with on Trump is if Trump could buy them, I want that into a Trump Tower.
Oh, that, yeah.
That is what needs to be. That's what needs to be a Trump Tower. If I could get that and the Vatican being a Trump Tower, I'm actually pro him.
Oh, the Vatican. Like, if all people are always asking, if humanity was existent, that stopped happening, what would you do if you're walking around? I would get on a boat. I'd go to Europe. I'd find the Vatican, walk around.
That's it.
Yeah, first and foremost.
I got a brighter side for Mormonism. Are you ready for this?
Sure. Yeah.
When I used to go to spring break in Panama City every year when I was in college, they would often host free pancake breakfasts, and I would get free pancakes every morning thanks to the Mormons. And then they come and they talk to you, and you know you're so drunk you can't really pay attention. So I thank the Mormons for the pancakes morning to soak up the booze.
Sad piece
from the night before. Yeah, and that's literally until we started doing Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, I was like, Mormons, pancakes. That's what I thought of them.
The most insidious indoctrination of all. Wow, it worked on him.
All of those people handing you pancakes probably were missionaries, and they paid to do that. They weren't getting paid. They
and
paid
not
the
allowed
church
to
do that.
He's been writing in Mitt Romney ever since.
Yeah. It's like, hold on a second.
What should the Satanists cook for everybody?
Oh, I mean, hot dogs.
Honestly, Satanists, we're not cooking. We're going to make, it'll be like a cocktail or something.
Yeah.
My main positive note about Mormonism is thank you for inspiring the incredible web series Mormon Girls.
Ugh.
Thank you for that work that you brought. We would not have that if it wasn't for that.
Yeah. I tried to watch Big Love like several times and I just never could do it.
Watch Mormon Girls.
Big Love is just like
when you say I hate that sentence.
Yeah.
Even though it's like three
you watch
words
children.
Long.
You said you love watching children.
Yeah, but I like atheist children.
And that's what we do here at Side Stories.
Yeah, I wish we could get the terms boys and girls out of pornography in general. That'd be
well,
great.
It's with a Z. So that's how you know it's street smart.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So you see, it's cool that way. They're hip. They're like taggers.
And then there's the
Bop
House. You guys should look into the Bop House.
No, don't. No, let's not.
It's very scary because it's like a porn show, but it's for teenagers. Like four teenagers to watch. It's so weird.
We don't want to go down this route. It is dark.
Oh, God.
You
guys,
people normalize it. Yeah.
No,
I hate it.
I hate this.
Well, you know, let those
girls do. They just collabed with a 17-year-old child.
And these are Mormons?
No, these are not.
Sam just brought up a horrible thing.
To be honest, the capitalist part of me says good for you girls, and the other half of me is like, get the boys out of there.
You ever see the porn version of Boys in the Hood? It's actually it's a bunch of Klan members, you know, because they're in hoods.
How is that a porn?
Gay pornography.
Yeah, gay pornography.
It's boys inside of the hood.
Yeah,
is what he's saying. He's talking about a gay pornography film featuring the KKK.
But that's actually pretty funny.
Do you know when I went to Dachau?
Thank you. It's funny when
you got to really
think about it. Amber segueing to Dachau. Please, Eddie. Yes, Amber, please. I can't wait.
Thank you.
What happened at Dachau that Boys of the Hood, the gay KKK pornography reminded you?
Made me think of? Well, all the guards would rape each other.
Oh.
So you would have like the
horrible guards.
Horrible guards. The Jewish people.
Watch yourselves.
No. The Jewish people were like horrible, treated badly. And then you even get to the guards, and even them, there was a hierarchy structure, and there's one guy raping all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's why you listen to our show.
Yeah.
To learn all new stuff. And that's why you got to go listen to Someplace Underneath.
I love that you can get this out on this show, and then we don't say it on Spotify. Yeah.
That's the goal here.
For some reason, they get mad when ladies say things.
Yeah, you guys definitely get an extra amount of flavor sent your way.
But also, if you weren't, then you wouldn't be saying anything important.
That's the thing, is that, and I will say to all of, and I will defend my beautiful wife, because I've seen the people put all of your, like, you said a lot of stuff about Elon Musk, oh, yeah. And all of the boys got so angry.
They got very mad.
And it's, I so just funny. Want you to know that if you are upset about anybody criticizing Elon Musk, you're such a worthless little bitch that yeah. you should probably go fuck off. Okay?
I've been canceling any of my lifts that are Teslas.
Yes, good. And that's we'll why, be petty. Yeah, and we're going to continue to be petty. And just, you are going to have to suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, Cena has a Tesla. I won't get in it.
No, Cena's looking to sell it.
Nice.
Because we all hate it. Yeah. And so, and again, I'm not really into the black cube on Instagram, social
What's a black
media.
Cube?
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not into the stupid social media
Ice
protests.
Cube is his name.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry, everyone.
Didn't the monkeys with Neuralink kill themselves?
I have no idea.
I think they like.
I don't know anything about Neuralink.
The wall.
No one, don't use it yet.
It's the LDS Church wanting to put chips into your brain.
Also, we also haven't really talked about what I'm going to talk about on Side Stories about the Scientology rise in the government as well, which is actually in the middle of right now. There's a whole Scientology revolution happening.
They're all getting in there.
They're really figuring
it's the time
it out
for them for sure.
They are loving it right now.
Also, that guard at Dachau that was raping all the other guards, I heard the reason he was doing it is because he wanted to change the name of Dachau to Cockow.
Yes.
He's been thinking about that ever since you said it.
Yeah. What's it like? Work makes the day better? What was it on the gate?
I don't know. Work will set you free.
Work will set you free. Life on your way. You know what? We'll take that out.
Yeah, it's
Let's
fine.
Take that out. Let's just take that out.
We have to end. Now we have to end. We're going to end this episode.
Just bleep it. Keep it in, but bleep
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're just
let the people imagine what Amber is.
Yeah, let them know, okay? Women are allowed to be. We need more inappropriate women because guess what? We have what they say in a mug. Well-behaved women rarely make history. Yes, bitch play.
Yes, listen to Someplace Underneath. Their series on the LDS Church is amazing. How long is it going to go?
We have 18 episodes completed, but it's but not even close to done.
We're just getting onto the abuse.
The LDS Church is insane. I'm sorry, but it's wild.
Are you going to do the Catholics next?
I don't know if we have the money in the legal budget. We will figure it out. We will go to, because after Scientology, because Scientology is pretty litigious. I've never been sued by the Catholics for anything.
LDS has only got 200 years under its belt, so it's a lot easier to cover everything that's happened so far.
Yeah,
the Catholic Church is legacy.
It's the Nepo babies of religion.
Yes. Yeah.
And just like the Nepo babies, they don't cut the mustard, do they? We're going to go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. Give us money. Go to our TikTok. Go to TikTok on the thing. It's at LP on the left. It's not going away.
No, it's here.
It's where all of our horseshits is.
Not all of it. Some of the horseshits there.
It's the other horseshits on twitch.tv/LPNTV where we are live every week.
Every other Monday, you can watch Amber and Natalie do Spawn.
Yes.
It's like 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
And then when they are done, they go onto our YouTube channel. Go and check it out. And go to lastpodcastontheleft.com to buy all of our live show tickets. We're better than we've been before.
Yeah, right now.
You guys are crushing it.
I'm in Florida this whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm in Jacksonville, Panama City, where the pancakes are, and Tallahassee, Florida.
That's all it takes, Mormon. You want to get on his good side, you just bring some buckwheat to the comedy show.
Yeah, so if you want to come out to any of these stand-up shows in Florida, please do. This is Invasive Species. Ed Larson tours Florida. Tickets are available at eddietunes.com. Also, Amber and I have a wonderful podcast that we've been doing for about 13, 14 years called The Brighter Side. It is available on the Last Podcast Network. If you're not listening to it, you need to. It is a cynic's look at optimism, and I love doing that show with you, and it's so much fun. Also, we have Hoopa Goo Goo, which is the HGX2, the Hoopa Goo Goo game, which is every other Thursday on the Last Podcast Twitch channel, LPN TV, or is it twitch.tv/LPNTV, and the replays are available on YouTube, so make sure you check those out.
You better.
Crescent City.
And Crescent City, that's the other show that my beautiful wife is on with my sister, Jackie Zabrowski. She's
also beautiful.
She's fine.
We should get Jackie here and have like a big situation.
Oh,
and
I can be completely surrounded by the women that control my life?
Yes. I think that'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get my wife in here too. I'll let her yell at you.
Yeah, Julie.
I could just be. I'll just slowly fold.
It is nice to watch you fold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's better than looking at your fault.
Natalie.
I'm sorry, Natalie. I won't apologize to Henry. I will apologize to you.
I love your
she
faults,
has
honey.
To choose my fault.
The people like when I make fun of Henry. There's nothing I can
I'm
do
aware.
About it.
I am working on it. I'm working out. My tits just keep getting bigger.
Yeah, man. That's how it goes.
I know. Well, see you from the land of big tits. I've been Henry Zebrowski. Signing off. Hail Satan, everyone.
Oh, hail nobody.